The Torah tells us about the requirement of kosher. And in Parashat Shemini, and based on Gemara and Chulin, and test the Gemara, the Torah tells us the different simanim. So for a kosher animal, it has to chew its cud and have split hooves. And when it comes to fish, so you just need fins and scales. When it comes to birds, the Torah just tells us which ones, a list of 24 which are in kosher, you have to figure out the rest. But getting back to fish, so the Torah tells us you need fins and scales. So what's the story regarding eating tuna fish today? So tuna fish, there are many types of tuna, but apparently there are only three types of tuna that the fishermen catch for human and for us to eat. There's the skipjack, the albacore, yellowfin, different types. But all the other ones are made not for human purposes. So therefore, we know, so what's the problem? We know tuna has fins and scales. The issue is, there aren't necessarily non-Jews. Are the non-Jews neman to check in the factories? That's where it's all made. It could be in Puerto Rico or somewhere. So the Beis Yosef, the Darkei Melcher, they quote a famous Tosus Harid in Avodah Zarah, that let's say if there's a certain location, a certain part of the river, ocean, that they trap them, they catch them. Because how do we know it's them? When we see it, there's no more fins and scales on it. So if we know they have a system that's set up, and then, so therefore, even though we know that halacha is that a nachri, a non-Jew, is a neman on kashrus, if that matter, a Jew doesn't keep kosher, isn't neman either. You have to keep kosher in order to be neman, even though in a different context where Moshe has a tshuva about, if you know 100% sure, or 99% sure, you're sure this person's kosher, so then he talks about that maybe there's room to be mako. I think he's talking about, this tshuva was about a Russian family, that it could have been the parents ate kosher, but the kids didn't, so it's known kibud av v'aim among Russian Jews, so, and the Russian children would never, they knew that they wouldn't serve them treif, so if out to them on it to not believe, but maybe if it constitutes the idea, so therefore you don't need neman. It said, there Moshe has a discussion there. But so here the Tosus Arid writes that as long as the system's set up, that we know, but it doesn't make any sense that the way they make it is each one of the tuna fish, the skipjack, the albacore, the yellowfin, they make them all separately because you got to cook them different amount of times. So if the makpid, not even to mix the tuna, so we know they're going to be careful not to mix other non-kosher fish in. That's what people assume, that's what you can rely on in terms of tuna fish. However, there's another issue called bishul akum. Bishul akum is, even though something's 100% kosher, right, so you know it's 100% kosher. However, but if a non-Jew, a Gentile, partakes of the process, so therefore, it's a problem. So, whoever the guy, we assume it's an issur d'rabbanan, and the concern is, one opinion is the concern of non-kosher, we're not assuming that, we assume it's atchasonis, that you're going to fall in love with the baker's daughter, the baker, because you can, the way to a person is the is the stomach, and therefore we're concerned of intermarriage. So, what about the issue of bishul akum regarding tuna? So there are many poskim. So the Birkei Yosef, the Chida, he quotes, we know there's a halacha by pas akum, that there's something called pas palta, there's a hetter if you're baking. If you're baking for the community, so therefore it's okay, there's no concern. Pas is a staple, we're not concerned. There's a special heter by pas palter. What about by bishul akum? If he's cooking, not the next door neighbor, but he's cooking for the community. He's cooking in a restaurant. So it's a discussion in the Rishonim, I think, Dura and the Rash, but with Machma, we pass, it only applies by pass and not by visual. So the Chida wants to say it's true that we only apply the heter pas palter and not bishul, but he's saying but that's only if it's that's a discussion of it, if he's cooking, let's say, locally in a restaurant. So then, you know, he's cooking for the whole community, not just you, so there are many other people. But in a case where someone's cooking so far away, they're in a factory, you don't even know who's doing the cooking, then maybe it even applies to bishul. So that's what the Chida writes. This kula that perhaps there's no bishul akam, if it's so far removed, you have no idea who it is. Even though this kula does not, the kula has not been accepted, but that's the kula of only applies to pas and bishul. However, Rav Moshe points out, but it's true we don't generally accept, we only accept it by pas palter and not by bishul, but he says there must be some guidelines to how far you go, how far you take this. So, in other words, if they cook the same way, you're saying if they cook the same way you do at home, you know, then we assume bishul akam. But what about steaming? By tuna, they steam it. So, in other words, once they steam the tuna, it's right lachil, even though they might have to put it into the can and do other things, but what they say is all the workers eat it because it's just a government regulation to make sure no bacteria, but therefore really it's considered cooked before. So Rav Moshe says that here it's so far removed, perhaps when do we say we don't go with the kula if it's like a restaurant or something, but in a factory, if it's so far removed, then it's the type of steaming that it's not normally done. It's not normally cooked that way. So basically, Rav Moshe thinks there's room to be mako because it's so impersonal. So therefore, in this situation, we're not worried about chasanus. However, not everyone accepts Rav Moshe's kula. However, the poskim say, if you could combine another kula with it, we will accept it. So in other words, there's one heter, Yushami writes, it's a suffix of whether you say bishul akam on steaming food. So since it's a Ibarva Lipshit that we don't conclude, so bishul akam is drabanan. So suffix drabanan with kula, we say there's no problem of smoking food. So there's a further debate, what about steaming food? Even though steaming is different than smoking, but maybe does steaming have the halacha of smoking or not? So that's a debate in the poskim. So number one is, you have cells who say that there's no problem. Steaming doesn't, there is no bishul akam on steaming. It's not considered cooking. And even if you want to go with chumrah and say that steaming is considered cooking, but you have Rav Moshe's heter of that in this case it's so indirect that the cooking in the factory, so therefore you don't even know who the person is, so therefore one could rely on the two. So those are the first issue about knowing about the fish. So if you have the system set up so we know it's the fish, so we're not worried. We find the Tosfos are written on Avodah Zarah. And secondly, the issue of bishul akam, so we have number one where the steaming is bishul, but the steaming is bechlal bishul akam anat. And even if it is, so you have Rav Moshe's kula that since it's so, even though normally we only have the heter pas palter, but bishul akam, we don't go as far, not only our next door neighbor, but we'll take it to the restaurant, but when they're making it in a factory in a different country, or even in the same country, but you have no idea who it is, so then perhaps there's no problem of bishul akam, and that's not and that's why there's no problem with tuna. Another perhaps reason also, some places they eat tuna raw. So if you eat tuna raw, so one of the tamer bishul akam is nechal shulchai, so you get into doesn't have to be 50%, but if there's a significant amount of people who eat tuna fish raw, so then that could be another heter as well in terms of the issue of Bishul Akum regarding tuna fish.